Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 10 o'clock, Dumelang, happy Friday. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show. It's great to have you with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. We start with the 702 open line on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. If you're doing the Omdidam Marathon tomorrow, good luck. I'm also doing it. And I'm really looking forward to the scenic route. This is actually the largest inland ultra marathon in South Africa, offering a 50-kilometer ultra marathon. Oh, there's also, I think, an 8-kilometer fun run as well. Are you ready for it? I mean, 50 kilometers is nip up in place, eh? Have you trained sufficiently? And are you doing it to qualify for comrades, or are you doing it for fun, or like me? This is part of your training for comrades. Call me or send me a WhatsApp voice note, please. Whatever your reason is, though, good luck with Omdidam tomorrow. It's Friday. So every Friday, we do Gratitude Friday on the 702 open line. This is where you contact us to tell us what you are grateful for this week. What are you grateful for? What warmed your heart? What put a smile on your face this week? I have to say, I'm grateful to you as a listener. For your beautiful heart. Many of you responded to the story I told you about that woman whose 11-month-old child was raped by her own father. The 11-month-old father. And when that partner was sentenced, she was attacked by her own family, the mother of the child, because her own family was not happy with her opening a case against the man that was a breadwinner. We spoke to her on the phone yesterday. She gave us more details, and the response has been so overwhelming. There are people who called us with job offers for her, people who sent her some money. Some gave her clothes for the child. There are people who offered to build her a home. So the response has been overwhelming, and I'm so grateful to be part of a community that cares so deeply for other humans. A community that is always ready to walk the talk with us, to make a difference. So thank you. You are what I am grateful for this week. What are you grateful for? I'll take your calls and your WhatsApps on that. In a moment, I'll give you an update as well about the Constitutional Court's system of support services. Remember, they were planning to use support services of former justices to help with the huge workload that is faced by the court's justices. Now, Justice Zach Yacoub was one of the retired justices that we're going to offer these support services. Justice Froneman as well was going to be there. But that system has now been scrapped. I'll tell you why in a moment.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
We start with the open line, 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. I saw quite a very funny clip yesterday of the premier of Limpopo, and I wanted to share it with you, because you know politicians sometimes say the weirdest of things, and maybe sometimes we sort of get what they're trying to say, but because they're also politicians, and maybe we judge them unfairly in that we expect them to say weird things that won't make immediate sense to us, right? Because I feel like because they are politicians, they also are very calculative of what they say. And in being calculative, they end up saying things that actually confuse us. Right? Listen to what the Limpopo Premier said. This was at a Mail and Guardian event. They were hosting an event with the University of Limpopo, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a point when they were talking about the issue of unemployment. And Stan Matabata, who is the Premier of Limpopo, said this.
Unemployment is increasing. but increasing at a decreasing rate.
You want?
I think that's Lizek there in the background. Wait, what? Eva?
Unemployment is increasing, but increasing at a decreasing rate.
Okay. So I saw that and I thought, interesting. I mean, shame, poor politician was trying to make a point probably about unemployment. What? It's increasing, but it's increasing at a decreasing rate. I don't know, maybe he's trying to say that unemployment is increasing, but what? Does anybody know? Like maybe, okay, does anybody know what the premier was trying to say? Because, okay, I get it. So unemployment is increasing, but it's increasing at a decreasing rate. So what he could mean is unemployment is increasing, but... Okay, he's not the only one, though. Remember Supra? What did Supra say again? The absence of the presence of something. Oh, I love politicians.
The Speaker will receive a commitment in writing before Friday this week in ensuring that we create the essence of the absence of presence.
The essence of the absence of presence. To give you context, I remember I was there when he made the statement. It was at Luthuli House, I think, and he was resigning as the premier of the Northwest. Remember there were protests in the Northwest? We used to cover those protests in the Northwest. I mean, there was a time the president had to cut a trip short in Europe and come back to you because people were angry and they were not happy with Supra Mahomapele. So he was resigning. He spoke about the absence, the presence of the absence. Yo, who can ever forget? Which is probably my fave. Musebenzi Zwane. I am a river. He must write a book and title it that.
I'm a river. All their abuses and insults can only be venomous before they reach my waters, in my coolest. Once they reach my waters, they turned into a juice. I'm not worried about what people say in their Twitter, but I know the truth. I am strong, focused on the job at hand. I will not go out and ask people to love or hate me. That is their choice. But I'm a river.
This is the best one. I'm a river. Huh? What is venomous won't get to me. Because the water is going to turn into what? Juice? There was a mention of juice there. Yeah, that's got to be my favorite. Wasn't Ace Magashule? Ace Magashule also said something. Was it when he said it is jumping like a tennis ball?
For now, it's well with my soul. For now, I'm still jumping like a tennis ball, running like a cheetah, and floating like a butterfly. I'm very well, very well.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Fascinating. Taecho, you're calling us from Boksburg. You've got an explanation of what you think the Limpopo Premier was trying to say. Please help us.
You must say the full name is Taecho Makalata.
Taecho Makalata. Our Tushi.
Yeah, so that what I think what the premier was trying to say is, if in the past there used to be 100 job losses, we're no longer having 100 job losses. Now we're having maybe 50 or 20. So it's like the second derivative of unemployment. Like when we used to lose more jobs in the past, now we're still losing jobs, but we're losing less number of jobs. That's what he was trying to say. Yes.
Okay, wait. Okay, let's take it so. So you're saying he's trying to say that in the past we used to lose more jobs.
Yes. Now we're losing less. We're still losing jobs, but it's less.
But we're losing less jobs probably because there are factories that are hiring more people So there are more job opportunities, but probably yes, some not. People are
I'm
still...
I'm from Limpopo. There's probably not new factories, that's right. But yeah, he's just saying that there's less number of people that are losing jobs. That's how I understand him.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm still struggling with it, Taijo. Maybe I'm slow, but...
Okay. Let me give you an example with a car, right? Let's say you are driving a car at 100 kilometers per hour, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you want to stop the car in 50 meters.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the brakes and the car stops.
Slows.
50 meters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, your deceleration is 100 kilometers per hour divided by whatever time you took to get to slow down in 50 meters. Now, you get a better set of brakes and then you brake and it doesn't stop in 50 meters. It stops in 25 meters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the rate at which your car stopped is better than before.
Okay. Taicho, in Boxburg, thank you. Probably somebody gets that. So Taicho says, and he could have a point here, the Premier says, when he says unemployment is increasing but at a decreasing rate, is that yes, unemployment is going up. That's because more people at some point were losing their jobs, but less people now are losing their jobs. So if that's the case, why is the rate of unemployment then going high? But also that's an average rate. That's why even when Stats SA releases the quarterly results on unemployment, sometimes they'll say unemployment has gone down. But when you actually scrutinize the numbers, you see that there is still like a big number of people that are losing their jobs. But on average, I'll say to you, well, actually, that rate is going down. Let's go to Ernest in Sandton. Ernest, how do you understand the Premier?
Morning, Clement.
Hey, Tada.
We mustn't be too scientific with the Premier, man. What the Premier is saying is the rate of unemployment is still growing, but the rate at which it is growing is now slower. Which means, for example, if you had 100 people that was unemployed, and next year you would have 110, and the year thereafter 120. The slower rate would be that following year, if it would be increasing by 5 and maybe 3. So the rate at which the unemployment is increasing is now slow, which means that the people still get more, they still become more, there's still more unemployed people, but the number is getting more at a slower rate. That's what it is.
Okay, see, Ernest, that's making much better sense. That's making much... So it's that rate. So unemployment is increasing, but at a decreasing rate. That means
at
that
rate
of... Okay, I think that's making more sense, Ernest. Thank you so much. Let's go to Moshere in Pretoria. Moshere,
yes, Clement.
Are you doing Omdidam?
No, not this year. Clement, I'm doing Two Oceans and I'm preparing for Comrade. Oh, look, the two ultras, it won't give you justice to when you're preparing for Comrade. But I just want to say to all those who are participating tomorrow.
Wait. Are you saying it won't do justice if you're preparing for Comrades?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
To run two ultras closer to each other.
Oh, no, I understand.
You're tearing
your... Of course,
your
no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, because normally they expect those who... They say you must at least 3 weeks before you can run another ultra. And you see, only done 50Ks, Two Ocean 56 is too close. There is not
sense,
enough time for you preparing for Comrade.
Yeah,
but I just want to say to all those who are participating tomorrow, all the best. Omdidam is one of the races that if you want to try to test your strength and also endurance, it's one of the races. I've done it twice, if not thrice. It's difficult, but once you finish running, you can really gauge where you are for endurance, for participating in Comrade. But all the best to all those who are participating. Also to my teammates, City of Tswan. Go and enjoy yourself, guys. The stage has been set. Go and test your endurance before we go into Comrade.
The endurance, man. That's what it is, Moshere. I'm doing it for the first time, Omdidam, so I'm really a little scared, but let's see what happens tomorrow. I'm unhappy though, Michelle, because it starts at 6. Why are you starting a 50K run at 6 in the morning? Why are we not starting at 4:15 or 5:30?
Yeah, Omni Dam, they always started at 6. Of course, we should get for slower runners during the day. It's going to be difficult because it's hot,
tough,
and also
yeah,
and also the race itself. Go and test yourself. You will tell me on Omni Dam is one of the races that those. If you want to test your endurance, it's one of the. It's like you're so wet.
It's 24 minutes now after 9 o'clock.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
So, the Chief Justice, Raymond Zondo, released a statement yesterday about the use of services of retired justices to help with the huge workload that is faced by the judges in the highest court. So, that system, or you want to call it the program, has now been scrapped. So, they won't be using the services of retired justices anymore. Someone sent me the statement yesterday. This is something I was passionate about. About a week ago, we spoke about this on the open line. I explained to you why I thought this program was a bad move. And not necessarily the program, in fact. Let me clarify that. I don't necessarily have an issue with the program. The problem for me was which retired justices they are choosing to be part of this program. Some of you agreed. Some of you disagreed. You understood where the Constitutional Court was coming from. But I'm personally glad to hear the Constitutional Court saying they've reviewed and they've reversed that decision. Let me give some context for those who were not listening on that day. So I found out that retired Justice Zaki Yacoob was going to be one of the justices that were going to render support services to the Constitutional Court justices. It was widely reported. The Constitutional Court then said Yacoob and other justices, I think Justice Froneman, who is retired as well, was going to be one of the justices that render services, these support services to the justices of the Constitutional Court in circumstances of the huge workload faced by the court's justices since the expansion of the jurisdiction of the court. So basically, the Office of the Chief Justice said, don't worry. We're not outsourcing our constitutional responsibilities because all of these retired justices that we are bringing in on a voluntary basis won't be involved in applications that come to the Constitutional Court because that's a core judicial function that is entrusted by the Constitution to members of the court. So he's constitutionally barred, Zaki Yacoob and anybody who's in that program. They're constitutionally barred from performing any of the court's judicial functions. And that's important to note, right? These people were not going to be taking part in the adjudication of matters. That's what the Constitutional Court was trying to get us to understand. So they're only rendering only support services. But the problem with that, though, is that when you look at the responsibilities, they would prepare a draft memorandum on new cases for the justices. So they would read new applications that were referred to them and prepare a draft memorandum in response of each new application referred to them. And then that draft memorandum is then sent to the Chief Justice, who will then send it to a serving justice of the Constitutional Court, who would have been allocated that new application. And then that justice who has been sent that application, draft memorandum, may, upon reading the application papers, adopt such a draft memorandum as theirs. Right? That's what they would do. Now, the serving justice would then circulate to the other serving justices a memorandum that they are happy with. And at conference, the serving justices will then decide the new application. And I remember saying, when we discussed this, that for me is precisely the problem. These retired justices would be offering advisory services that could ultimately influence the court's decision making. Which is why I said I think the Constitutional Court needs to rethink this appointment, because the preparation of a memorandum on a new application is actually quite judicial in nature. And I think that's what other organizations like KSEC have also argued in their letters to the Constitutional Court. The reality is any sitting judge Once Zak Yacoob or Justice Froneman or Justice Yacoob have presented that memorandum and they've accepted it, the justices that are sitting there may accept that memorandum. Yes, they may reject it, but they may also accept or amend that draft memorandum. So the reality is it may be accepted. And the problem for me was not that they're using this program of bringing in the retired justices to help with the caseload. The problem for me was you are considering someone like Zak Yacoob, whom I think has been politically exposed. The Constitutional Court is an important institution. This is the highest court in the land and the final arbiter. So the standard of this court is high. The standard with which we even hold the justices who sit in this court is high. That's why not everybody can be a judge or even a justice. That's why even after the justices or judges retire, we still pay their salaries and we still hold them to that standard. And I honestly, with all due respect, I honestly think Justice Yacoob has failed that test. I don't think since his retirement he's met the standard with which we hold judges and justices, whether they are retired or not. He's politically exposed. He has made comments about politicians. He has declared his support for certain politicians. He's been part of organizations that were pushing what you could argue were factional politics and factional matters of a particular party. Why would you consider a retired justice like that to come and help in the Constitutional Court? If you're serious about preserving the credibility of the Constitutional Court and its impartiality, yes, go do this program, but go and select. There are many justices out there who have always maintained themselves as judges. They've refrained from making political statements. They've refrained from declaring support for that or that politician. They've refrained from criticizing that or that politicians publicly and becoming political analysts. Go get those. But to go and select a man like Zak Yacoob, as politically exposed as he has been since retirement, I think that would have had a serious impact on the credibility and this perception of impartiality on the Constitutional Court. Do you give credit to the Constitutional Court for going back on this? And by the way, they're not saying that they're reviewing and reversing this decision because of Zak Yacoob. In their statement, I think they make it clear that the reason they're doing this is because they've realized that there are no enough justices that can be part of this program. But I doubt that's the reason, really, for reviewing and reversing this decision. It's 9:32.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 7:02.
23 minutes before 10 o'clock. You can give us a call on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So this decision that has now been reversed by the Constitutional Court, they wanted to bring in these retired justices to the Constitutional Court. Their reasoning is, I wanted to find you this, to read you this line from their statement, and I quote here, "The Chief Justice and his colleagues in the Constitutional Court recently held a meeting to review the program. They noted that the Chief Justice's efforts to establish the availability of many retired justices of the Constitutional Court to participate in the program revealed that only a limited number of the retired justices was available, as many of the retired justices were involved in other commitments and were therefore unavailable. Some of the other commitments included one or other commission, work of the Judicial Conduct Committee, judicial functions outside the country, as well as teaching at some university. The meeting concluded that given the unavailability of many of the retired justices, it was clear that the program would not be able to operate in a manner in which it had been contemplated. When introduced, the idea was that the rendering of this service, of this support service, would be rotated among most, if not all, of the retired justices of the Constitutional Court. It was never contemplated that it would be the same retired justices who would render this support service all the time. Given this unavailability of many of the retired justices to the court, it was decided to discontinue the program. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know what? We've heard the outcry. We hear that people are concerned about the credibility or the partiality of some of the retired judges and how they've conducted themselves. And that would taint the credibility, the reputation, the stature of the Constitutional Court. That's not what the statement is saying. The statement says, well, we've actually realized that we don't have enough retired justices to rotate through this program. So why did they go ahead and appoint Justice Zach Yacoub and Justice Fruneman to go ahead with this program when they have not checked if the other retired justices are available to serve the same purpose in the Constitutional Court? It doesn't make sense to me. If you're implementing a program like that in the Constitutional Court to help with a huge workload, actually what you do is you go speak to the retired Constitutional Court justices. Like you go one by one. Are you available? Are you available? And then when you've got 10 of them, you're able to say, oh, the program is ready for implementation. We're going to start with Fruneman and Yacoub. Let's go. But clearly in this case, they only considered other people when. So Zach Yacoub and Fruneman are what? Oh, they are the ones that are starting while we still look at other justices. I don't know if that's how you implement programs. In any way, I'm glad that the Constitutional Court has reversed this decision. Can you imagine Jacob Zuma going to court? Zach Yacoub works in the Constitutional Court, giving support services to the justices. How does he feel? Does he feel he's going to have a fair trial? When someone who has been attacking or criticizing him, let me use that word, has criticized him, is there drafting memorandums that go to the justices who then make decisions? I wouldn't be comfortable with that. If a judge has criticized me as a politician and has made their views clear about me, whether they're sitting on that in the Constitutional Court as a sitting judge or not, if they go and offer any kind of support that may end up in influencing the outcome of my application, I would be very uncomfortable with that. And I'm honestly glad that they've decided to reverse this. It's also Gratitude Friday. Remember, every Friday, we're asking you, what are you grateful for this week? What's put a smile on your face? I've told you what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for you having assisted that woman whose 11-month-old child was raped. A lot of you really responded so kind, opening your hearts and your pockets, and I really appreciate you for that. D on the WhatsApp line says, good morning, Clement. My younger sister invited me to a 2-hour coloring session. I'm so grateful for her. I enjoyed myself. My coloring skills also still suck, though. That's a message from D. Mammy says, good morning, Clement. I'm grateful today for the small space I call home. It is a rented space, but it is where I and my kids call home. I and my fiance have been wanting to buy our kids a house, but we do not afford it, unfortunately. I naturally love beautiful things, Clement, and I decided to make that small space beautiful and homely as much as possible. I use plants, flowers, and other decorative elements to make it cozy and homely, and we are all happy. I realize that in life, it is not always that we will get things that we want at the time that we want them. So instead of complaining, look around, work with what you have, appreciate those small things, and be happy. This is Mami from Modimolle. Enjoy your weekend, Clement. Mami, thank you for your message. Enjoy your weekend too. Modimolle. I know Modimolle. Is that Modimolle in Limpopo, right? It's Modimolle in Limpopo. Yeah, that's where my family is from, Limpopo. Thank you so much, Mami, for sending that. We have to appreciate the smaller things. Let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Bramfontein. Mike, good morning.
Hi, morning, Clement. You well?
Go ahead, man. I'm all right.
Good, man. All right, man. First of all, Clement, are you a river, man? Are you a river? Because what I'm about to say might become venomous.
I'm a river, bro. That water is going to turn into juice.
No, cool, man, Clement. Clement, just wanted to ask, man, this the constitutional court program that's now being revised. I find it very interesting from two ways. One from the current CJ and his presiding justices that are sitting. Why was this? You think why was this developed? Mm. Why wasn't this you know concocted or originated during the times of Abo Mokgweng, you know, the old chief justices? You know, does that maybe speak to the current justices who are sitting now on the bench, thinking you know the quality of the judiciary overall and the quality of advocates and justices that we have and president and presidents of various high courts? Is it deteriorating? Has it deteriorated or depreciated over the years? And I also sense from the other side, from retired judges, there's maybe an insidious sense or, you know, a very, very questionable sense of, oh, maybe we should speak to these presiding officers and inform them of better ways to improve the judiciary by us maybe, coming in mm-hmm. in an advisory capacity, you know, and not sitting in their big mansions in Westcliff and outing and being bored after retiring, like Abu Zak Yaqub, who terrorized journalists left, right, and center once they retired, you know?
Yeah, Mike, do you remember when I played the clips of Zak Yaqub? I mean, I haven't...
I found this very shocking.
Yeah. And that's why I played them, because I wanted the listeners to understand what kind of a person. And I'm not questioning the competency of Zak Yaqub. He may very well be one of our best jurists. I'm saying... He has not conducted himself according to the standards we are holding judges against. He has sworn at journalists. He has offered to pay people to make a matter go away. I played all those clips where he's gone. He has said live, he told Times Live one day, Zuma wouldn't get a fair hearing from me. How do you hire someone like that to come and sit at the Constitutional Court and give advisory services if really... You think of the Constitutional Court as an institution that must be impartial.
Independent, man. Questionable. So, but I think I agree with you, man, Kim, in the sense that, there were other reasons that obviously will not be aired publicly as to why this was scrapped, eh? Mm.
absolutely. They won't admit that. Mike and Brumpontin, thanks for your time. And look, this, even in the statement by the Constitutional Court, they're saying... This is common practice for justices of apex courts around the world. Yes, nobody's questioning that. Nobody is questioning that this is what's practiced in the Federal Constitutional Court of Germany or the Supreme Court of Canada or the Supreme Court of Kenya. In India, the Supreme Court there does this too. The UK Supreme Court. Nobody's questioning that. Yes, this is global practice, but you must still be careful which retired justices you go after, because some of them have turned into political analysts. They've turned into activists. They're in factional politics. They are politically exposed. Those are not the people you need to be helping you with some advisory support in such a sacred institution. How that is not obvious to the Chief Justice and the Constitutional Court really boggles my mind.
Hi, Clems. It is such a flimsy excuse. They've stopped the program because there's not enough judges to go around, because the program was aimed at rotating former judges, former justices. That does not make sense at all. As you rightfully said, they found out that they were wrong. Something happened, probably with Yaqub in there. I mean, they were supposed to come out and say, it's not going to work. Then leave it. Not lie.
Yeah, but you see, that's my thing about leaders. And you would think that this is what politicians do, right? Because politicians are good with that. When there's a public outcry, they go back and they say, no, we're not going to do that anymore because, it's too sunny. Even when that is not the reason. They are responding because there's a public outcry. They are responding because they see that what they were about to do is wrong. It's only sometimes when even Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, has come out and said, oh, we've heard you about the flag. The Arts and Culture Department is no longer going to spend, how much was it? Was it over 2 billion? Was it millions or billions? Whatever. But the president said, no, we've heard you. But in many cases, they come and they say, no, we have decided we're not doing this thing anymore. And they come up with some excuse. But that excuse is revealing other things. My question is, if really you've studied how this program works in other countries, then you know that you need a group of retired justices so that you can rotate them. Why did you appoint Zach Yacoob and Justice Froneman before you assemble a group of justices that you can rotate them? That's what you do first, isn't it? Go get 10, go get 5, go get 20, whatever number you use, and then start rotating them. But you went and appointed these two. And when people are raising concerns about it, and they're questioning the credibility and the stature of one of those judges, then you come back and you want to say, oh no, we've actually cancelled it because we've realized we don't have enough retired justices. Come on.
Good morning, Clement. It's Heidi here.
Regarding retired judges, the reason they became a judge is that their personal feelings and opinions, regardless what they say in the public space, doesn't influence their judgment. As long as their judgment is according to the law, then I don't see a problem with it. They do not let their personal feelings influence their judgments. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been judges.
Yeah. Guys, if you think you're not going to be able to handle your emotions and your personal views in public, don't be a judge. It's as simple as that. That's why Mokgweng Mokgweng had to apologize for his comments on Israel. He's an amazing judge. He's an incredible jurist. But he was involved in political controversy. You can be involved in controversy. I can be involved in political controversy too, because I'm not a judge. There's a reason why we even pay judges' salaries even beyond their term in office. Because these are people we hold in a high standard. There's a reason why Judge Hlophe has now been impeached. Because what he did, you may think, oh no, but what he did, he was just talking to some of his colleagues there about Zuma's case. You and I can do that. You and I can go around doing that. But because we are holding judges in a high standard, that is unacceptable. You can make the mistake of going drink and driving. It's a wrong. Shouldn't do that. But when you do that, you're going to be judged differently to another judge who drinks and drives, and they get into trouble, they cause an accident, and then they lie about an incident of racism. When you do it, you're going to be judged differently to a judge because the standard is high. If you can't meet that standard, do not be a judge. And yes, judges are human beings. They're going to falter. They're going to make mistakes. When they make mistakes, we must also move on and appreciate that. But don't bring them back into the fold. Even when you know very well about how problematic their statements have been, about how they have not passed the test of that high standard we expect of the judges. And I'm going to repeat this because often people want to mishear you. I have no issues with Zach Yacoob. I think he's incredible. I love him as a person. I appreciate the sacrifices he's made for this country, for us to enjoy the freedom we have today. He may very well be one of our best jurists. He's very competent. But he should stay far from that constitutional court because he is no longer clearly an impartial judge. He's made so many comments that are political. He has sworn at journalists. He has offered somebody money to go to make a matter disappear. That's not a judge. You need to be associated with the constitutional court. It's 7 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Good morning, Clement Manyatela and team. I'm so, so, so grateful that my son finally got a job. Even if it's just a call center, it's a job, Clement, because the weight was just so heavy on me, having to look after two boys with different characters. So I'm so, 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 so grateful. God has just been good to me all the time. Thanks, Clement. Bye.
Hi, Clement. So I've been married to my wife now for 8 years. We've decided not to have kids. The way we say it, we're still dating and enjoying it. We went out for a random little date last night, and we're sitting there playing chess while we're eating our food. And I just looked up at her as we were talking, and I realized I'm still madly, hopelessly in love with her. And that's what I'm grateful for.
Oh, that is so beautiful. What? Yo, that is so beautiful, man. Really, I'm getting goosebumps here. Like, that's just beautiful to know that someone looks up at their partner and they remember why they are with them. Oh, that's amazing, man. That's beautiful. You make love look so beautiful. You make people yearn for love, I tell you.
Good morning, Clement. How are you? So, Fatima from Sandton. What I'm appreciative for is the fact that there are still good teachers out there. My kids moved into a new school this year, and, you know, with moving a school, you worry about socialization and, you know, the kids being able to transition into the new school with the kids and the methodologies, etc. And this one teacher has really taken my son under her wing, and she's really tried and done everything to make him feel as much as possible at home. And he's really, really done well for the first term. And yeah, so that's what I'm appreciative for, the fact that there are still good teachers out there today and not just make everything the parents' problem.
Beautiful.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 2 minutes before 10 o'clock. John in Observatory says, hi, Clement. On the issue of the justices, on the bench, you evaluate the merits of the arguments, irrespective of your own views. No, you're right, John. You're right. Can I just remind you quickly that there was a time when the parliament wanted to appoint Richard Calland to be on an independent panel that was going to look at the Palapala report and those issues. And I was one of the people that thought that is a terrible move, because Richard Calland has already made pronouncements on the Palapala matter, whether in support or against the president. And yet you want him to be on an independent panel? Is Richard Calland a brilliant mind? Absolutely. Is he going to look at the merits of the case? Yes. But perception matters. When you're dealing with independent panels, when you're dealing with the judiciary, perception matters. So yes, John, you're right. When you're on the bench, you evaluate the merits of the case. So people want to argue that, well, the law and the rules will be supreme when these people give advice to the Constitutional Court. Well, then let's have judges go and talk publicly about the parties that they support. Let's have Raymond Zondo go and say, oh, I love Julius Malema, I support Julius Malema, I hate Cyril Ramaphosa, I support the IFP. Let's have them do that. Let's have them tell us which parties they adore, and then be okay with them sitting and deciding the fate of such parties, because, oh no, but they're only going to look at the law, right? So they're only just going to be looking at the merits of the case. Are you going to be comfortable with that? With a man, a justice who has said, I hate Zuma or I hate Cyril. There's a matter of Cyril or Zuma before them. Perception matters. It's not enough to be independent and impartial. You've got to be seen to be independent and impartial. I always stress that. It's 10 o'clock.